Welcome to week 19. Lately, I'm finding the craziness that surrounds us to be more than a bit distracting. As I was preparing this homily, I found an article that highlighted a 30-minute radio talk that then Monsignor Fulton J. Sheen gave in 1947, a year and a half after the end of the war. I think you'll find this summary of his talk to be even more applicable today than it was back then. He began by saying that we are at the end of Christendom, which he defined as economic, political, and social life that is inspired by Christian principles. He cited the breakup of a family, divorce, abortions, immorality, and a general dishonesty as symptoms of that loss. Why is it that so few realize the seriousness of the present crisis, he asked. Well, it's partly because people do not want to believe in their own time, that their own times are evil. It's partly because it involves too much self-accusation, but principally because so many people have no standards outside of themselves by which to measure their surroundings. Only those who live by faith really know what's happening in the world. The great masses without faith are unaware of the destructive process that's going on. The inability to identify the signs of the times is compounded because the basic beliefs of the modern world are dissolving. Replacing them are these assumptions. First, man has no further function in life than to produce and acquire wealth. Second, that the ideal man is naturally good and has no need of a God to give him rights, or a Redeemer to salvage him from guilt, because progress is automatic thanks to science, education, and evolution, which will one day make man a kind of God. And third, the idea that reason isn't for discovering the meaning and goal of life, namely the salvation of the soul, but merely to devise new technical advances to make on this earth a city of man to displace the city of God. The signs of the times reveal that we are definitely at the end of a non-religious era of civilization, which regarded religion as an addendum to life, a pious extra, a morale builder for the individual, but of no social relevance. It was an ambulance that took care of the wrecks of the social order until science reached a point where there would be no more wrecks, and which called on God only as a defender of national ideals or as a silent business partner, who had nothing to say about how the business should be run. The new era into which we are entering is what might be called the religious phase of human history. Unfortunately, this doesn't mean that men will turn to God. Rather, instead of being indifferent, they will turn to having a passion for an absolute. The struggle will be for the souls of men. The conflict of the future is between the absolute, who is the God-man, the God who became man in order to save us, and the other absolute, which is the man-God, the man who makes himself a God. But God will not allow unrighteousness to become eternal. Revolution, disintegration, and chaos are reminders that our thinking has been wrong and our dreams have been unholy. Moral truth is vindicated by the ruin that follows when it has been rejected. The chaos of our times is the strongest argument that could ever be advanced for Christianity. The disintegration following an abandonment of God is a triumph of meaning, a reaffirmation of purpose. We cannot turn from God without hurting ourselves. Our Lord wanted his followers to be different from those who were not followers. Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, "I have taken you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And yet today, mediocrity and compromise characterizes the lives of many Christians. Many read the same novels as modern pagans, educate their children in the same godless way, and allow pagan practices to creep into their family lives. The conflict and opposition between Catholics and the world, which is supposed to characterize us, no longer exists. We are influencing the world far less than the world is influencing us. There is no separation. When it comes to people who stand up for the faith, for the sanctity of marriage, and of life from conception to natural death, evil must come to reject us, despise us, hate us, and persecute us. Then we will define and affirm our loyalties and state whose side we are on. Our quantity will indeed decrease, but our quality will increase. Anyone who has anything to do with God is hated today, whether his vocation is to announce his divine Son or to follow him as a Christian. We tremble not that God may be dethroned, but that chaos may reign. It is not transubstantiation that may perish, but the home. Not the sacraments that may fade away, but the moral law. As bleak as things may seem, never has there been such a compelling argument for the need for Christianity. For people are now discovering to their misery and woe that wars and revolutions increase in direct proportion to the neglect of Christianity. Evil is self-defeating. Good alone is self-preserving. Like the prophets of old, Sheen stood firm in hope while giving us some practical advice. First, Christians must realize that a moment of crisis is not a time of despair, but of opportunity. Once we recognize that we are under divine wrath, we become eligible for divine mercy. Remember that it was because of famine that the prodigal son said, "I will rise and will go to my father." Sheen reminded us that after Jesus had described the catastrophes that would fall upon a morally disordered civilization, he did not say, "Be fearful." Rather, he said, "When these signs begin to appear, stand erect and raise your heads." Sheen told all Christians that the world is serving our souls with a summons, the summons to heroic efforts at becoming more Christ-like. Catholics ought to stir up their faith, hang a crucifix in their homes to remind them that we too have to carry a cross, gather the family together nightly to recite the rosary, that through corporate prayer there might be an intercession for the world. When possible, go to daily Mass so the spirit of love and sacrifice might be sprinkled in our business life, our social life, and our daily duties. More heroic souls might undertake a holy hour, conscious of the need of prayers of reparation as well as petition. Sheen urged all of us to pray. The forces of evil are united, the forces of good are divided. We may not be able to meet in the same pew, but we can all meet on our knees. The most important conflict in the world today is for your soul. The only way out of this crisis is spiritual, because the trouble is not in the way we keep our books, but in the way we keep our souls. The time is nearer than you think. As I mentioned, that was Monsignor Sheen's talk 75 years ago, but could just as well have been given today. So as the craziness surrounds us, take heart. God has a plan, and each of us has a part to play in it. Jesus didn't call us to be part of the world. He called us to be set apart, to stand erect and raise our heads, because blessed are those servants whom the Master finds vigilant on his return. We must not be cowed by the forces of evil. We are Catholic Christians. We know the truth, which Jesus told us shall set us free. Our challenge is to commit to and live the truth, especially in the face of the hostility of those who do not know the truth or who, in their desire to be God, have rejected the truth. May God grant us the grace to live the truth each and every day, no matter the cost.